2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to give you some things that I think will help you. And these truths have helped me. I'm going to share with you a very specific formula. Does someone of you ever get a little blue and a little down, suffer from little bouts of depression? Hello, it's okay to admit it. I'll put my hand up there. I'm not that way by, honestly, my nature, my personality is not to be melancholic. I'm not that way generally, but I don't care who you are, what type of personality you have. There's times that you find yourself sorrowing, you find yourself down, you find yourself where it just seems like it's hard to obey the Bible. What do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible's going to give us some things. In Philippians 4:4, I won't have you go there yet, we have this command: rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's tough. That's a tough one. And yet that's a Bible command. And so the Lord expects me to rejoice even when I don't feel like it, and sometimes when I can't seem to find a reason to rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, two little words. The entire verse is two words: rejoice evermore. Wow. Well, thank you, Lord. Don't ask anything hard. I mean, all the Lord said is, I just expect you to be rejoicing all the time. And yet, the Lord also knew that we would live in a world where not everything that happens is good, and that trials and tribulations and testings and persecutions was part of the package. And yet here we have these commands. Now I want to read the first 10 verses of where I've directed you, and then when we get down to verse 10, I'm going to point out something, and then I'm going to give you some very practical things that I think will help you. If you write down, I don't always ask you to take notes, and if you don't this morning, that's fine, but if you could jot down somewhere on something, you know, and if you don't have a piece of paper, just feel free to use an offering envelope. Amen. I'm just kidding. Please don't use the offering envelopes. It's amazing what I find in the pews written on offering envelopes. Amen. But we provide those so that you'll have something to write on when you need to. Verse number 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, but that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions. By the way, listen to this. This is kind of Paul's, he's giving a little bit of a personal testimony. I don't think he's whining. I don't think he's complaining. But he's being very honest. He's being very transparent with these people. He's saying, hey, there's things I've had to face. And by the way, I'm not the only one. And so he says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. He says sometimes we get good news, sometimes we get bad news. As deceivers, yet true. What he was saying there was, even though we speak the truth, there's people that say and call us deceivers. And so, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Now here's the little phrase I want you to notice: as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Let's pray and then we'll teach. Heavenly Father, take the truths that we're going to take a look at. Lord, we're going to just hold up some precious Bible principles, and Lord, hold them up to the light of the Holy Spirit of God and what he provides and gives as we examine these things. And Lord, give us just a little formula that during those times where we are sorrowing, we can not only sorrow, but even in our sorrow, we can learn to rejoice. And Lord, I pray that you just help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess if I was going to title this, I might title the Bible study, How to Rejoice When You Do Not Have a Reason to Rejoice. how to rejoice when you do not have a reason to rejoice. And I want to establish something that verse 10 teaches us. Notice what Paul says here, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, sometimes I think that we believe that we only have two choices. We are either sorrowing or we're rejoicing. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul says that even as we sorrow, we can rejoice. And so it's not a matter of rejoicing being defined as the absence of sorrow. Because if that was the truth, most of us, in a large section of our life, would not be able to obey the Bible. If we said, okay, in order to obey Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, in order to obey that, then all sorrow has to be eliminated from my life. There's not many of us that would have much of a chance at all of being obedient to God. See, God's not saying that you either rejoice or you sorrow. Now pick one of them. He said, no, you're going to spend a good part of your life or times in your life when you are sorrowing. But in sorrow, you can still learn to rejoice. Now, that's exciting to me. I think most of you have been there and you're already thinking back. You think of times that you've gone through life that was very hard and very difficult. And I mean, you were sorrowful of heart, broken of heart. And yet, if you put those times under the microscope, I'll bet there was some times that you laughed during those times, when you smiled during those times. Sometimes, women are better at this than men. Have you ever laughed and cried at the same time? Yeah. Most of the women in here are shaking their head. And most of us men also shake our head when we say this happened, but we kind of go like, what are they doing, you know? they can laugh and cry. And so one of the mamas that was here last week got happy about something, and she was crying, and her little girl looked up and said, Mommy, what's the matter? Well, why are you sad? She said, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm happy. And the kid just looked at her like, have you lost your mind, you know? Yes, amen. Isn't that wonderful that even in that moment we see that God says these two things can be married together? Mother's Day is one of those holidays that brings both emotions. There's the happiness of Mother's Day, and then there's the sorrow of Mother's Day. If you've already seen your mother go on to heaven, you are sorrowful, and yet I pray that you're sorrowful and yet rejoicing. And so God didn't make us have to choose between these two things. There's going to be times where you go through sorrow, and there's going to be times where it's hard to find a reason to rejoice. Now, I'm going to give you, real quickly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got about 20 minutes, 21 minutes. I'm going to try to give you these five things, so I won't be able to elaborate deeply on any of them. But if you write these things down as reminders, and then I'm going to give you some Bible references to look at with me. So be ready to flip around in your Bible just a little bit. I'm going to give you a little formula. Say, preacher, okay, it's one thing to be sorrowful and yet rejoicing. And yes, I understand what you're saying. There's times when I'm experiencing sorrow, and yet I also find a reason to rejoice. But what about those times where I'm experiencing sorrow and I can't find a reason to rejoice? That's a dangerous place to be. And so sometimes it seems like there is no reason to rejoice. What do you do when you are sorrowful of heart and you cannot find a reason to rejoice? Now, let me give you several things here. Number one, remember a reason. Remember a reason. Jot that down. Remember a reason. 2 Peter, if you'll go back there real quickly, 2 Peter chapter number 3, remember a reason. All right, preacher, I'm standing right here. I'm looking around me. I don't see any reason to rejoice right now in this present time, in this present moment, in this present circumstance. Well, there's still a way you can rejoice even though you don't see an immediate reason why you should rejoice. Remember a reason. Now, God gave us a wonderful, wonderful ability, a wonderful gift. Every Thanksgiving, I go through this little exercise, and I try to find something. I've done this for 20-some years. I try to find something and ask God to show me something to be thankful for that I've never thanked God for before. And so I'll start that in November. And I'll say, Lord, I want you to just draw my attention to something. And I feel like I'm a pretty thankful person. I try to have a thankful heart. So I always think, well, maybe this is the year the Lord's going to say, nope, everything that you can be thankful for, you've been thankful for. But that's not happened in 20-some years. He always shows me something that I've never looked at and said, Lord, thank you for that. And a few years back, this is what he brought to mind. During the month of November, I was reading my Bible with that thought in mind. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, notice this, by way of remembrance. And the thing that I thanked the Lord for that year, that I'd never thanked the Lord for, never bowed my head and said, Lord, I want to thank you for this, was for a memory and for memories. You know, God created us with the ability to remember. And so that is something God gave us on purpose and should be used very specifically and purposefully in our Christian lives. Now, preacher, I'm going through a tough time. To be honest with you, there's a lot of things going on in my life, and it's hard to rejoice. I don't seem to have a reason to, or remember a reason. Now, one of the great things about our lives is if you live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what you have, and you acquire and collect a lot of sweet memories, a lot of things that you can look back on and rejoice and find reasons to rejoice. So sometimes the reason to rejoice is not found in the present moment. The reason to rejoice is found in the memories of former happy moments. And so take the time to remember. I said something Wednesday night to our folks, and we still have some around here, I think, and we'll lay some out. Matter of fact, Brother Tim, are you back there? Back underneath the information desk, I think in one of the boxes, there's some of those 501 cards. Just throw a few of them back on the... Now, I told our folks Wednesday night, listen, the 501 banners are coming down and the 501 cards, if you know, we're going to toss the extra ones. And then I laid some back there, and I told our church Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I said, listen, grab some of those on your way out. I know it's over. I'm not telling you to grab them so that you can pass them out because they're dated. It's over. I want you to grab them and hold on to them somewhere and put them somewhere where every once in a while you'll see them. I said, every once in a while, you ought to pull this card out and just say to your kids, maybe during family devotions or something, hey, kids, I found something. Remember about 6 months ago when what the Lord did on this day? And just, you know, the children of Israel, when God would do incredible things for them, a lot of times he would instruct them to build some type of a memorial so that when the children would see it, they would ask, what is that there for? Wouldn't it be great if some of the children 10 years from now finds that card in Mama's devotional by Mom? What's this 501? Be one of 501. What was that? I'll sit down. I want to tell you a story. And see, one of the great things is that God has given us the ability to remember things. And so, listen, you don't always have to find the reason right now, right here. There may not seem to be a reason in the present moment to rejoice, but what I found out is if I get to that place where I'm having trouble obeying these Bible verses because of a sorrowful heart, thank God for the memories. Thank God for the times I can go back to and think of. Thank God for all that God has done in the past. So number one, remember a reason. Number two, I like this thought, borrow a reason. Borrow a reason. How to rejoice when you do not have a reason to rejoice. Preacher, I don't have a reason to rejoice. Okay, then borrow a reason from someone else. Borrow a reason. Now let me read you two portions of scripture to save us a little time. Romans chapter 12 verse 15 says this, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Now I'll have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. So if you'll flip over there in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Because I want you to see this verse. This one might be well worth a marking in your Bible in some fashion so that you'll remember this. Remember a reason. Number two, borrow a reason. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members what? Now, here's a great thing to do. I hope that you'll grow to this point in your Christian life. I'm afraid we live in such a selfish society, and people become so self-centered sometimes that if something's good is not happening to them, then they just think that everybody ought to stop and just be miserable with them. And they can't be happy unless the happiness or the reason for happiness is in their backyard or their front yard or in their home. And let me just say this. One of the things the Bible teaches us is that we're not just supposed to rejoice when something good has happened to us, but we're supposed to rejoice when something good has happened to somebody else. And so sometimes I may find myself in a present circumstance, like Paul did, where, you know what, it seems like that there's no good reason to rejoice because I can't find anything in my life at that moment that makes me want to rejoice. But I promise you this, if you look around the church house, there's something good happening to somebody. Now, you're going to respond one or two ways. Boy, I want you to get this. Some of you really need to get past this point in your life. You're happy if something good happens to you, and you're bitter if something good happens to somebody else. Shame on you. I mean that with all of my heart. Shame on you for living that way. Shame on you for being that way. What a terrible, terrible way to live. I mean, honestly, some folks can't share good news. You can't share good news with certain types of people. Because the minute that they find out that you have a reason to rejoice, they're mad. That something good happens to you, they're mad because it didn't happen to them. So instead of smiling and rejoicing with you, they get an angry scowl on their face and they make some caustic comment and they go over and sit in a corner and feel sorry for them. Shame. I mean this. Shame on you. That is the lifestyle of a disobedient Christian. Because God says here, rejoice with them that do rejoice. He said, listen, if one of the members be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so sometimes I say, Lord, I'm not finding it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not saying it's not there. I just seem to be blinded to it. But I can't seem to find a reason to be happy at this moment. But you know what? There's some people that I love very dearly. And I'm going to look around till I find something that God, that you're doing in their life that's special. And you know what? Maybe I'm just going to go with them and stand by them. And I'm going to rejoice with them. And you know what? By the way, if you'll do that regularly, you're going to find that that comes around. And God sees that you're willing to rejoice when something good happens to somebody else, you know. God will probably bring something into your life that they can rejoice with you about later on. But just remember that, folks. So sometimes I borrow a reason. You know, sometimes that's one of the great reasons that you ought to take the time to pray one for another. That's one of the great reasons that you ought to be willing to go down the prayer list of our church family, because there's times where I'm praying for folks, and you know what, I'll pray for a certain person, a certain name, and I'll think to myself of some great thing that God did for them. And you know what, you got to rejoice in that. Bus captains, look up here. You know, oh preacher, I'm down. You know what, I just, you know, I didn't have a good Sunday on my bus. Did somebody else have a good Sunday on their bus? Then rejoice with them. So a Sunday school teacher, my class was down today. Was somebody else's classes up? Then rejoice with them. I didn't see anybody saved this week. Did somebody else see somebody saved? Then rejoice with them. You see, folks, the honest truth is we're all planting and we're all watering, and it's God that gives the increase. So when God does something good for someone in this church, He didn't just do it for them. He did it for all of us. And so even when you can't find a reason to rejoice, you can remember a reason, something in the past. You can borrow a reason, something around you. I've got to hurry on. Number three, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. I want to show you a wonderful little phrase and explain it to you. So many times there's these little short commands in the Bible, and we've read them and kind of quickly glance over them in our Bible reading. We don't really take the time to absorb them. But Romans chapter 12, verse 12, I know that it contains one of those types of phrases that I kind of jumped over for years. And as I was making this study and developing this thought years ago, God gave me a sweet little jewel and nugget here in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing. Look at that first phrase there, Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in what? Number three, anticipate a reason. Anticipate a reason. Now, we talked a second ago about looking backwards and finding a reason to rejoice. Now, we're going to look forward and find a reason to rejoice. All right, right now, I can't find anything right now in this present time. All right, then you look back And you remember, and you find a reason to rejoice, and you start rejoicing. Then you look around you at people that you love and some good things that are happening in their lives, and you rejoice with them. Wow, I'm starting to rejoice now, even though I didn't think I had a reason. It doesn't always have to be your reason. Now I'm looking in the future, and I'm going to anticipate a reason to rejoice. Now, I believe this. First of all, let me just give you this on a real practical scale. I believe you ought to live on purpose. I believe you ought to live on purpose. I don't understand people that don't have that don't plan their lives, that don't have a plan day by day, that don't use. I know some of you got all this on your phones and stuff. My wife told me the other day, she said, "I need to put your schedule on your phone." I said, "You can do that?" And, you know, I'm what they call a tech-tard. You know what that is? All right, that's like a retard-only technology. All right, I'm a tech-tard. And I said, "Really?" She said, because people ask me, "Hey, I've got a date here. Do you think?" I'd say, "I've got to go look at my, as soon as I get in my office, look at my calendar, I can answer that question." Apparently, you can just use your phone and check these things. So anyway, my wife's going to teach me, I guess, how to do that. I believe in that. I don't understand people that don't have a plan. I don't understand. If you're not planning to accomplish something, you're probably not going to accomplish it. And I just, every day of my life, I look at the I live off of a to-do list. I live off of a schedule. I have the week plan. I have the month plan. I have the year plan. Folks, I've got in my calendar right now, all the way to 2013, all of the major events of what's going to happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church already scheduled. Many of the speakers that I want to bring in, I've got to schedule them sometimes 3 or 4 years in advance because of their busyness and all of that. But here's the thing. What's great about that is even if this is a stinko day that I'm living right now, I can look ahead and I can say, this is coming. And that's coming. And this is coming. And you know what? Maybe I can't rejoice in today, but I can rejoice in anticipation. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in anticipation of what God's going to do. Anticipation. Look right up here and let me help you with something. I think everybody ought to keep something on your calendar that's not too far in the distant future, that's something to look forward to. Okay, and that doesn't mean you have to plan a day off or a vacation every month. Again, sometimes I think the only way we can be happy is if it's for us. I mean, you ought to just always have some. Hey, husbands, I can help you help your wife right now. You know what? Your wives need something to look forward to. They need something on the calendar they're looking forward to and saying, you know, okay, we're going through a busy stretch, but we're going to be able to do this here. Can I say this about your kids? Your kids need some things to look forward to. And so get your calendar out. If you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. You won't write it down, it's probably not going to happen. If you say, well, as soon as we have time, how's that working for you? Anybody know where this spare time is that everybody keeps talking about? Because I searched the church. I can't find any of them. I thought maybe it's in the parking lot. Someone dropped it, you know, out there, and I'm looking for this spare time people are talking about. There's no such thing as spare time, but I will tell you this. There are such things as planned time. And so anticipate a reason. And listen, some of you look up here. You struggle a little bit more than others. For whatever reason, I'm not condemning you. There's certain personality types that fight melancholic and depression a little bit more than others. You need to have some things in your life that you're looking forward to, and if you can't rejoice in today, you can rejoice in anticipation of what God is going to do or have you do. Fill your schedule up, not just with, like I said, sometimes, again, the only time when I talk about this, people always thinking about, you know, going riding a roller coaster or taking off, or it's not always about that. It's about some things that you can do for somebody. Or things that you can look forward to and ahead on the church calendar, and maybe a special meeting or a special Sunday. But have some things in your life. If you will take a look at what your pastor does here, one of the reasons that there is a sense of excitement at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is that there's always something not very far down the road that we're looking forward to that's exciting that we're going to do. One guy told me one time, he came and visited our church, and he said, me and my wife wanted to come visit your church because we were looking for a church, and he said, He said, well, let's go to that church over there on 59. Every time I drive by there, there's something on the sign that they're doing. There's something going on there all the time. And part of that is not just for the sake of visitors. Part of it is the sake of the spirit of the church. Now, you need to take that same philosophy and put it in your family's life. You need to take that same philosophy and put it in your individual life. Okay? You know, I do say, preacher, do you plan a lot of vacations? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Tomorrow I'll have about a 10-minute one. Listen to what I'm saying. I work a lot and I'm busy a lot. But if you looked at my daily schedule, every day there are little small enjoyments that I sprinkle throughout the day. So even if I'm having a lousy morning, I can look on my schedule and say, okay, I got to do these three rotten things, but then I get to do this really cool thing. Then I go back to the rotten things. Are you getting this? Okay, so anticipate a reason. Hey, if you're sitting there, let me give you the third, fourth one, I got to hurry. Create a reason. If you're sitting there waiting for someone to make you happy, okay, I'm just going to sit over here because the world's responsibility is to somehow keep me happy. Thank you, there's one person, all right. Surprised how many people live life that way. Let me give you this. Create a reason. Now, boy, this is maybe the most important verse I give you this morning. Philippians 2:17. If you can get there quick, get there. I'm going to read it. Philippians 2:17. Mark it. Listen to this. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also you joy and rejoice with me. Create a reason. I'll tell you what, there's just no reason to rejoice. There's no reason to rejoice. There's nothing to be happy about. I'm just going to sit here and wait till something comes along that gives me a reason to rejoice. Why don't you get proactive? Get up! Get up! Now, that's a wonderful verse there because the Bible says that, listen, it's in your hands. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. The first time ever in my life in college because of my work schedule. I remember that very first Christmas that I could not get home for Christmas. Y'all remember that? Remember the first time you were away from home on Christmas Day? And Christmas was coming, Christmas Eve. I ended up having to work Christmas Eve. It didn't work out where I could get a flight to see my parents the next day. I had to wait and go later on that week because of my work schedule and getting time off and all of that. So Christmas Day. If you've never woke up Christmas, some of you military guys know what I'm talking about. You've been away from home on Christmas Day. I was in an empty guy's dormitory. Everybody's gone except for about three of us in the entire dorm. You wake up on a Christmas morning and you're in a dorm room and all you want to do is be home. And I remember laying in bed feeling sorry for myself, not really wanting to get up, finally get up. You know, we had this little Charlie Brown Christmas tree I went and found. And I just went over to it, thought it would cheer me up. Instead, I just sat there and looked at it and started crying, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And all of a sudden, had a guy a couple doors down. He knocks on the door. I thought, man, somebody's alive. And he opens the door. What are you doing? I said, sitting in here feeling sorry for myself. That's what I was doing. he said, you got any plans? I said, no. It was a weekday. I don't remember what day it was. And he said, hey, you got any money? He's asking a college student, you know. I said, well, a little bit, a few bucks. And he said, hey, there's a couple stores open. You want to do this? He said, let's go down there and see what we can buy. He said, let's go up on into Chicago under our bus route. And let's go knock on some of our kids' door that, you know what, don't have much. And let's go make Christmas happy for somebody. Man alive. You know what? We did it. Jumped in his car and went to the store, bought just a bunch of cheapo stuff, you know, but stuff kids would like, and went up there and started knocking on the doors of families that, you know, sometimes you think you got it rough till you find somebody that's really got it rough, you know. And spent about 4 hours just traveling around the bus route, knocking on doors, interrupting. By the way, it was a great blessing, too. I ate about 4 Christmas dinners that day. Amen. There's a little selfishness going on here, too. Amen. And that's great. Now, I could have just laid in the dorm. Are you listening to this? I could have just laid in the dorm. Now, folks, listen. The honest truth is, God's given us the ability to be a blessing to somebody. Think you're having a tough day? Get in your car, drive over to the nursing home. If I can't be happy, well, then do this. Would you make somebody else happy? And by the way, as you're making somebody else happy, you know what you're going to find out? It makes you happy. Amen. Are you getting this? I hope so. All right. Number 5, discover a reason. And I've got to close down. Discover a reason. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes we're in the midst of a situation where it just seems like there's no reason for joy. And yet the Bible says all things work together for good. And sometimes a wonderful, wonderful exercise, a wonderful teaching time with the Holy Spirit of God is sometimes in the midst of all of what we're going through, just say, Lord, I can't see any good anything that's happening in my life right now, but you promise that all things work together for good. Would you help me to discover where the good is that I'm not seeing? And I can't tell you how many times you do that and you ask God to show you that. God will help you to discover that something that seems so bad. Let's leave with this thought. Stay with me. Leave with this thought. Have you ever thought you were having the worst day of your life and then looked back on it and realized later it may very well have been one of the best days of your life? Because God later on showed you why he needed you to go through that type of a day. So all things work together for good. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance just to take the Bible and teach us these rejoicing principles. Thank you, Lord, that you understand us. And thank you for that qualifying verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. We can read Philippians 4:4 and 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and just say, Lord, it's impossible. I can't always rejoice. Thank you for teaching us that rejoicing and to rejoice does not mean that there is no sorrow. But Lord, that even in our sorrow, we can find reasons to rejoice. Remembering a reason, borrowing a reason, anticipating a reason, creating a reason, discovering a reason. Thank you, Lord, that if we'll take the time with your Holy Spirit's help, we can always be a rejoicing people. Lord, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.